Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us right now is Gedalia Bloom. He is the partner and co-founder of the Heartland Initiative. And we wanted to talk about Hamas holding back and dragging out the war. And a tweet that I sent out a short while ago is something that I believe very, very strongly. I said that who gains more from the death of Gazans? It's not Israel. Israel is being demonized across the world, while Hamas is hardly even mentioned. Hamas's goal is to destroy Israel and winning the war, and is winning, I believe, outside of Gaza. And how do they do that? Well, they're using dead Gazans as ammunition. That is what I believe very, very strongly. The question is, how can this be countered? Gedalia Bloom, partner, co-founder of the Heartland Initiative. Great to chat to you. I'm hoping that you are well.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you? All good, all good. By the way, I would wish that we could trade problems. I would love to have Israel have an elephant problem instead of a Hamas problem.
Right. Yeah. I do hear it because, yeah, you can contain your elephants.
You know what? Yeah. I mean, you know what? Everywhere in the world, I always say this, everywhere in the world there's problems. You know, there's flooding, there's tornadoes, there's, you know, natural occurring disasters, which you have no control over. And I always said I would much rather have a Islamic Jihad problem than, let's say, live in Kansas and wonder if one day a hurricane is going to come through and just completely obliterate. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to do about it. But as people, at least we have some control. And unfortunately, right now in this geopolitical situation we're in, really Israel is kind of like broke out of, you know, of these handcuffs that we've always had. And now we're being punished for what actually needs to be done in Gaza and actually throughout all the Middle East.
Absolutely. Let's just talk about first of all, in your view, what is Hamas hoping to achieve by dragging out this conflict?
I mean, they have everything to win at this point. I mean, it's not really what they have to achieve by dragging it out. It's what would they have to achieve by ending it? That's the real question. Because, you know, ending it means that they go out of power. Ending it means that they completely relinquish any kind of authority over Gaza. Because everybody understands in Israel that the end game cannot include Hamas in power. That we have very clear red lines. Number one, the hostages need to be returned. Number two, Hamas needs to disarm. And three, Hamas needs to leave Gaza. And Hamas is not, you know, as much as they send out their own people to commit suicide, their leadership is actually wants to stay in power. They're not suicidal. And so that I think is the real question. What exactly do they have to gain by it? And by the way, the longer they drag this out, the more they're winning. I mean, in recent days, 25 nations around the world signed a declaration or whatever it is for Israel to finally end this war and have a ceasefire. And they see what the world is saying, and they're not going after Hamas and holding them accountable at all. The onus is on Israel, completely on Israel. And so the more they drag it out, the more they win.
How did we get to the situation where the media and international outrage and support is aligned with Hamas's talking points?
I mean, that goes back to Mount Sinai. That goes back all the way back to where Moses received the Torah on Mount Sinai. Where he didn't just receive the Torah, this Torah was a new world order. It was a disruptor in the levers of power that be, and we're seeing that even today. We're still struggling with that because in the Bible, in the Torah, it says, "In the eyes of God, all men are created equal." Right? We're only being judged by men, but in dictatorships, in Marxism, communism, jihadism, all these isms, even in wokeism, not everybody's created equal. And so by definition, Judaism in our Torah is diabolically opposing their power structures. So I think that this is why we see LGBT lesbians for Palestine aligning themselves with the jihadis, is because they're not really looking at each other and saying, okay, do we align, on our own values? They're saying, do we align against our enemy? Do we want to upend, Judean Christian values, Western civilization as we know it today? And, Israel right now is pretty much the focal point of this value system. And I think that's where you're getting all of these people aligning. And by the way, you see it, and I'm not saying that all Christians, support Israel. Obviously, we have a lot, but that's a different issue. They're more of the replacement theologist that says, God forgotten the Jews, and they're no longer the chosen people. Now Christians are now this replacement theology. So that's where the Jew hatred comes from then. But so I think we're dealing with a very deep spiritual, cultural issues that are manifesting itself in the geopolitical sphere.
So there's little doubt that there's a psychological element to the prolonging of the war. What impact does this have on Israeli society the longer this drags on?
I mean, listen, we're fatigued. We're tired. We're tired of war. And I think this is the reason why we actually went to war. We were tired of the tens of thousands of rockets that came from Gaza before October 7th. We were tired of the Assad regime threatening us every 2 seconds. We were tired of the nuclear bomb, of the Iranian nuclear program hanging over our heads. And I think we're just tired of war. And I think that Western civilization needs to understand is that apathy is not a solution. You have to take action against the things that are threatening your societies. And if you don't, it just gets harder every day. You look at today and you say, this is as hard as it is right now. This is going to be the easiest it's going to be. And I think that's where we just got to a point, in Israel. And it's not easy. It's the easiest, but it's not easy. But yeah, I mean, on the ground, our soldiers are tired. I live in Judea and Samaria.
Yes.
There's the highest level of motivation to go into a combat, into combat units. The psyche, the psychological, positioning wherever, someone is right now is, I think, a little bit different here in our community, because there's more of a spiritual, religious driven kind of
element to it. Yeah. Motivation.
Yeah. Element to it. So there's more purpose to it. So people are much more motivated, I think. And I, again, I'm generalizing. There's obviously a lot of, But even here, people are tired. And I think people really want to wrap things up. And the only hope that we have to wrap things up very quickly is for these 25 nations around the world, instead of looking at Israel and saying, you need to stop, for the world to get together and be like, enough is enough. Hamas, put down your weapons. This war could have ended on October 6th if you didn't do it. It could have ended on October 8th if you released the hostages, you put down your weapons, and you left. All of this civilian death, all of the war, all of the carnage that happened is because the international community allowed Hamas and gave them kind of the green light to continue this war. And we're still seeing it today. I mean, how many ceasefire deals have been presented to Hamas that they rejected? Even one that was just, rejected yesterday. So we want to end the war. We absolutely want to end the war. And listen, I just want to make one other point. I think this is extremely important. There's a special category for refugees, for Palestinians. It's called UNRWA. Okay, this is their own special category. There's no other refugee.
Right.
There's no other population in the world that has their own category. UNRWA gets more money from the international community per refugee than any other refugee in the world. Yet, during this war, when everybody knew that Hamas was completely embedded in civilian, civilian life, everybody talked about how Gaza was an open air prison, the most populated area in the whole world. not UNRWA or not any other nation ever said, we need to get these civilians out of harm's way. We need to give them the basic human rights of any civilian in any war zone by allowing them to become refugees. There's only one other place in the world that doesn't allow for war refugees, and that's North Korea. And so this, I think, is really the, you know, talking about elephant, this is the elephant in the room that no one's talking about. Why exactly is everybody crying over civilian deaths, yet not one international body, not one leader has ever demanded for war refugees? Because this war would have been prosecuted a lot differently, and Gaza wouldn't be flattened as it is today. And I think that we would have been able to go in, and anything that moves, we would have known that they were a combatant. Instead, today, now we're putting soldiers on the ground, putting them in harm's way, putting their civilians in harm's way. There's accidents, as we saw, that there was shrapnel that hit a church that killed a couple people. That stuff wouldn't have happened.
I think it's a very, very strong and valid point you make. Final question, though, is, in your view, how should Israel approach this phase of the war? If you were sitting in the Prime Minister's office, how would you play this out?
This has become more of a geopolitical war now. It's about narrative. Every single government minister, prime minister, everybody needs to stand up and call out the international community for their apathy of Hamas. That the onus has always been on Israel, and we should actually say to the international community, you want this war to end? It's very simple. This is how it ends. And just keep driving that point. Stop talking about little details. Stop going through the rabbit holes of you hit this person. What's going on with you? With aid. You know, how many trucks are coming in? That's all distraction. The big picture is every single government agent, every advocate should say, enough is enough. You want this war to end? Then Hamas has all the power in their hands. Are you going to leverage that, or are you just going to continue to ignore them? Because if this war ends the way that the international community wants to, through negotiations, Hamas will write their death notice. That's it. This is all they have. This is their last stand.
Yeah.
As long as it certainly does seem that way.
Ghazali Bloom, I do need to end there because we need to move forward to our next interview. Ghazali Bloom, partner, co-founder of the Heartland Initiative. Thank you.